Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. Different areas, different parts of the country, we could even say. Glenn, that's Glenn West, by the way. My name is Bryce Kuhn. We picked the day just to say, let's just go home, get ready for the holidays. We thought we were going to enjoy a nice little quiet Christmas. And, Mike Denbrock had to end up, taking the Notre Dame job. Good for him. Excited for he and his family to be closer to home. But for us, we're recording in different locations. Glenn's on his LTE. I'm on a little bit of shaky Wi-Fi, so stick with us here as we roll on this podcast. But Glenn, I mean, at what point did you hear the news? Had you left for New Orleans yet or not?
No. So thank God that we were, yesterday, or no, it was probably 2 days ago now. So we're recording this on Saturday morning. So on Thursday afternoon, evening, we started to hear some rumblings about the strong connection with Denbrock and Notre Dame, and, just wanted to play it safe. So I woke up, early Friday morning and got a story ready just in case something happened. Wasn't really expecting it to happen that quickly, because really about 5-10 minutes after I put it in the system, the news breaks and, we source and confirm it ourselves, and we're ready to hit publish. So it came together all pretty quickly. I'm sure LSU kind of had an inkling maybe the day before that something like this was going to happen. So I think Denbrock told them this Friday morning officially that he was off to Notre Dame, and now LSU I think we kind of knew coming into the off season that their offensive coaches were going to be hot commodities. We just weren't sure which ones were going to leave, which ones were going to stay. And, it certainly seems like Denbrock's name was thrown around, not just by, his connection with Notre Dame, but, Texas A&M reportedly threw a big bag at him, and LSU was able to get him to stay. And, we can go into a little bit more of the behind the scenes and our workings of why Notre Dame makes more sense for him and why he should, or why he wanted to go back up north, where he's kind of got a lot of family and spent a lot of his career up there. So, this is a loss. I mean, we're not going to sit here and sugarcoat the fact that, losing your offensive coordinator of the number one offense in the country and was obviously a big part of the brains behind the operation. That is definitely a loss for LSU that Brian Kelly's going to have to fill. And, at the same time, this is also why you've brought Brian Kelly in here. He has been widely regarded as a great CEO in terms of his hirings and the assistant coaches that he's brought in over the past 20, 30 years of his career. And so that'll be tested for sure. This go around, we thought it might, we thought it would have to come certainly on the defensive side of the ball, and we're still waiting to see if that kind of change is on the way. But certainly now on the offensive side of the ball, they're going to have to do some restructuring here after losing Denbrock, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I'll throw this in because Glenn said I had to throw it in. We were driving back to Georgia. We get on Interstate 12. I decide I'm going to take a doze off for a little nap. And I wake up to my wife, bumping my shoulder from the driver's seat. She goes, "Hey, I just got an ESPN notification that LSU lost a coach or something. You might want to check that out." So I immediately got on my phone. You and Sonny had been texting about it. I was like, "Oh, let me hop in here real quick," because I think I just said like, "Wow," and then like tried to start like catching up on, obviously kind of what happened from that little, 6-hour drive that we had back to Georgia. But no, look, we talk about LSU losing Mike Denbrock to Notre Dame. I mean, when you really look at it, Denbrock, I believe his hometown, his family, they're all about 2 hours away from South Bend, Indiana. I mean, it makes sense when you talk about a guy that is, I guess we'll say it the correct way, longer in the tooth. He's a little bit older, maybe looking to get closer back to family. I don't know if Denbrock's looking for a head coaching job at this stage in his career. So it makes sense to go back to Notre Dame in a place where, look, they've struggled with some quarterback development. They've struggled with, offensive explosion, even in this year, having a guy like Sam Hartman. They got to have a guy, Marcus Freeman, who's recruiting really well. And I think it's a chance to go back home. I'll be honest with you, I saw a lot of ruthless fans that were, mad, upset. It's a loss for LSU. But I think from a personal and a business decision for, Mike Denbrock, it makes sense like to go back closer to home. And, LSU fans might not like this one too much. You're still coaching at one of the premier brands in college football, and it's a chance for him to kind of, continue to ride out his career where he's going. I'm not saying he's going there to end his career, but I'm saying this is a chance for him to get closer to home, on maybe on the back end of his career.
Yeah, and look, he spent two different stints at Notre Dame. I mean, he was there from, I believe it was 2002 to 2004, and then again under Brian Kelly from 2010 to 2017. So he's very familiar with the area, very familiar of the recruiting and just kind of how it works up there. I mean, they've done a little bit better job, I think, of recruiting in the last couple of years. But it's no secret that a big part of their pitch to recruits is you got to be pretty sound academically, and we want to have a guy that knows how to recruit to those standards as well. So I think it makes sense on a lot of different levels for Denbrock to leave. I think if he was going to leave for a lateral move like this, taking a job like that would have been the most would make the most sense, and not really maybe the big bag thrown at him from an A&M or something like that. Now, he is going to be paid handsomely by Notre Dame. I do believe that he's going to be one of the higher paid, if not the highest paid coordinator out there in college football. So I think we can get back to it from an LSU perspective. I think it is a loss, because what has Brian Kelly preached for, this better part of the last month and a half, 2 months, is, look, we want to have some continuity here. We want to be returning a lot of our personnel, mm-hmm. and our players, and, getting that level of development and buy-in from those guys. And I think that extends to the coaching staff to some degree as well, especially on the offensive side of the ball, where you've really taken some big steps from year one to year two in terms of your evolution of the offense and the scheme and how you want to, run things going forward. So, losing a big piece like that is certainly not something that's easy to overcome. And it'll be interesting to see what he does here. We've got a couple of young coaches that I'm sure we'll get into here in a minute that have an opportunity in front of them to really seize. And I think just from putting a wrapping paper over the Denbrock angle of all this, Christmas time wrapping paper. I think it's a loss, but it's one that I think LSU can overcome with the right decisions, and they've got the guy in place that is supposed to be able to make those, and has shown over his career that he can do it at a pretty successful rate. You're not going to be batting a thousand on every decision, but at least from the offensive side of the ball, Brian Kelly, at least here at LSU, has proven that he knows ball and he knows how to bring in coaches that are really good offensive players or offensive minds.
I love that, Glenn. I use that all the time. It's just a guy that knows ball. I mean, he's been doing it for so long. Like I said, he's not going to bat 1,000 on this. But, man, he does pretty well over the course of his career. Great segue into, you know, I guess, Glenn, the announcement came out, what, maybe 45 minutes, an hour afterwards from, you know, from the
You might have been up from your nap by then. You might have been up from your nap by then.
I think I was. Yeah, I think I was able to get that email from Michael Bonnet, you know, that talked about Cortez Hankton and Joe Sloan are going to be co-OCs. You know, obviously those guys are going to be heavily involved in the passing game. And then Brad Davis and Frank Wilson are going to kind of, you know, meet together for the run game. I will say this, Glenn. You know, this is kind of we haven't come out with a hot board yet. Sonny's working diligently on putting that together. When you look at the internal option, and this is always a battle during coaching changes. I know you've covered coaching changes, obviously, at LSU. I've covered coaching changes elsewhere. There's the battle of the fan base. Do we stay in-house or do we get fresh blood from elsewhere? With the way that LSU's offensive scheme, the continuity aspect, it would seem Joe Sloan might be the perfect fit to kind of, you know, just, you know, migrate from the quarterback coach's position to OC where he can still be heavily involved in the development of those quarterback coaches. I don't know, man, because when I thought about this, you know, first off, I said, man, Joe Sloan would be a great fit. One, that helps you give him a raise, a better title, and keep him, you know, as an LSU Tiger. But two, when they announced, like, the interim offensive coordinator staff, I was like, I don't know if there's a better situation of guys to have around you to help with that graduation from a quarterback coach. Frank Wilson in the years of experience. Brad Davis, we know he's a great recruiter, but a great developer. Cortez Hankton, a really good receivers coach. Like the people that would surround Joe Sloan to me to help make him a great OC, I don't know if there's a better, you mentioned continuity for them to go. I'm not inside the building, but I wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I think you bring up a lot of really good points. You know, I think I'll probably add to it by saying that Joe Sloan was sitting right next to Mike Denbrock the last 2 years while he was calling plays as the OC up in the booth. So he has that experience, at least from just watching and kind of communicating with Denbrock about how to go about calling a good game plan, you know, scripting plays and doing all that stuff. And going back to his days at Louisiana Tech, I mean, he was there for 9 years and he had a big, big hand in play calling. I believe he actually called plays for a short stint there. I can't remember exactly when. Maybe it was right before he came to LSU. But so he has some of that experience, I think, in his back pocket. And certainly, I think, sitting up in the booth with Joe, with Mike Denbrock the last couple of years has maybe helped evolve that aspect of his coaching background. And it'll be very interesting. I think these next couple of weeks and certainly how the team performs in the bowl game is going to be big for him and certainly for Cortez Hankton. Hankton was or has been a coach that's been on the field the last couple of years. It'll be interesting to see if maybe he gravitates to the booth next to Joe Sloan and they kind of split the play calling duties up that way, or maybe he stays on the field and kind of has more of a hands-on approach on the field. It'll be very interesting to see how they kind of use that dynamic, because I do think that these are both guys that eventually want to be offensive coordinators. And you know, I think this is a good kind of the piece that we're running this morning here, I put it as a good test or a good audition maybe for those two to kind of see if they can't work together and see if they can't see if they can't do this thing and make sure and make the decision a little bit easier on Brian Kelly in terms of already having somebody in the building. What that would absolutely do is continue the continuity aspect of things, you know, keeping the rest of this staff relatively intact and a lot of people in the building that have already done a really good job of getting this offense to where it is, continuing to evolve it. And you mentioned guys like Frank Wilson and certainly Brad Davis and Brian Kelly is always going to have a hand in the offensive decision making. But I'll even throw it to the personnel side of things. I mean, look, if you're Joe Sloan and Cortez Hankton, you're going to have pretty much everybody available to you except Jaden Daniels. I mean, you're going to have your entire roster on the offensive side of the ball coming back. I mean, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas are going to be playing in this game. You're going to have all your entire starting offensive line with Charles Turner. And, you know, he's already, you know, declared that he's going to go to the draft and go to the one of the Senior Bowl games. So having that continuity and having a lot of carryover and not having a bunch of guys opt out of the bowl game, I think should really add a layer of comfort level for Sloan and for Hankton as they kind of try to navigate this thing. But I absolutely think that if, you know, they have a good performance here in the next couple weeks and have a good game, good game plan and good execution on the first, that will absolutely be a big factor in whether or not Kelly wants to make this thing an internal hire or go outside and make another, bring in another OC to kind of help run things. So, but regardless, I think one of the biggest things you have to do is be able to retain the rest of your staff. Just to make sure that you have some continuity and some carryover in from what was a historic 2023. So I know that it's a big deal for them to kind of, you know, see if they can't get an extension done for some of these guys, Joe Sloan and certainly Hankton and, Frank Wilson. A lot of these guys are going into the final year of their contracts. I think the one that you want to get done sooner than later is certainly Sloan, but also a guy like Brad Davis, who was here for a year before then. And I think they might have redone Brad Davis's contract last year. I think kind of how they work is they go every 3 years or every 2 years before you get to that last year of your contract. They kind of want to renegotiate and restructure it just so you're here for longer. You don't want to go into the final year of a contract with no extension. So, that'll all be something to keep an eye on as LSU and Brian Kelly make these decisions now. Just to answer the question, yes, I do think Joe Sloan would be a good fit. I think Cortez Hankton, would do well with some added responsibilities as well. Even if it's not as a OC role, maybe they find some other kind of title or something to give him that makes it more of a promotion and not really kind of staying still or staying the course of what he's currently doing right now. So, yeah, I think it would make a lot of sense to go an internal promotion with this hire.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, I think it'd make a lot of sense as we, you mentioned, put the wrapping paper. I'll say put a bow on this topic, staying with that Christmas gift theme. You know, I'm not trying to sit here and make a public announcement that, you know, Joe Sloan or Cortez Hankton's the leading candidate. Just being around Brian Kelly for the past year, knowing how important to him it is to keep continuity in the day and age of college football that we're in, it just wouldn't surprise me if there is a – and there probably already has been. I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves. The public just learned about this over the past week or so. This could happen. I guarantee you Brian Kelly has had an eye. If Den Brock leaves, how much do I trust this guy, you know, a guy like Joe Slender Hankton? And he's been vetting that throughout the course of the season. So the process that he, I'll say this, I always use this synonym here, or this scenario, the runway that, you know, the fans see might seem like, oh, it might be a rush decision. The runway that Brian Kelly is, you know, been working with to get a gauge on these guys to vet them has been longer. And then you mentioned outside sources. I mean, Brian Kelly has coached 30 years as a head coach in college football. His network of coaches that he could bring in would be something interesting. But I do agree with you. I think it makes the most sense to look internal, but we'll see. We'll see. Obviously, in that bowl game, like you mentioned, great word for it there, Glenn, a good audition. Wanted to get to the final topic before we wrap it up here is, and I think there's, you know, a lot of debate going on our message board about this, is the impact on LSU's offense. You know, a lot of times when this happens, fans like to say, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, Joe Sloan was really the mastermind. Look, I think it's a combination. There's a reason Mike Denbrock was up for the Broyles Award, you know, there in December and almost won the award. Joe Sloan's a great quarterback coach. Garrett Nussmeier said in a media availability on Thursday, you know, that his conversations with Sloan when he got to LSU were some of the best conversations that have helped him understand football and a larger scheme. That's a coach's kid talking, you know, glowing reviews about Sloan. But Denbrock did some great things. So I don't expect this offense, whoever is at the helm, to look much different because Brian Kelly is that CEO type. He's an offensive-minded guy. But your thoughts on this about where, you know, where this offense can go in, look, 2023 was historical. That's a pretty high bar to meet year in, year out. But, yeah, you know, how you feel about this?
Yeah, that was going to be my first thing is, like, you know, I don't want to say there's going to be regression, but there's not going to be a, you know, a complete, like, consistency with what you saw this year. I mean, what Jaden Daniels did, what this offense had with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, and how those three in particular were able to really elevate their games and lead LSU's offense to a really historic run. That would be a little bit, you know, high thinking to think that would happen again. You know, I think there was always going to be some kind of, I'm trying to avoid the word regression, but just kind of a reverting back to the mean kind of deal. I was really struggling with that. I mean, I just had no idea to say other than regression, but reverting back to the mean, I think is a more polite way of putting it. But which I still think you can have, you know, a very successful season, a very successful offense with Nussmeier back there, with certainly with a lot of the weapons they have returning, and, you know, it's going to look a little bit different. You know, that was one of the questions I had for Garrett in player interviews this week was, you know, hey, how do you think this thing's going to look? And, you know, he kept it pretty close to the vest, pretty tight-lipped. He didn't give us a whole lot in terms of, you know, just from their play styles, you would imagine that it's going to be a little bit more, you know, shots down the field, kind of, you know, something that Garrett loves to do, which is, you know, push the ball down the field, which is something that Jaden really came into his own in doing this year. And I'm not saying that that's not something that he didn't want to do or didn't do. He did it at a very historic level. But this is definitely a part of Garrett's game that is woven into the fabric of who he is. He's going to want to get the ball out to his receivers. He's going to want to get the ball out to his playmakers and let them go make the plays for him. I think probably the biggest thing that I'm going to be keeping an eye on with Garrett is the short and intermediate route accuracy. Just making sure that you can, because that's always been the question, right, with him is, like, you know, yes, he can hit the big play. Yes, he can take those chances, and he's aggressive in taking those chances. But what about taking just, like, the first down play, like the quick 5-yard route, the quick 5, 7, 8, 9-yard route that gets you maybe some big yards after the catch? Maybe it doesn't, but it continues moving the chains, continues moving the offense forward. That's the thing that I really want to see Nussmeier take that next big step in doing. You know, we didn't see a whole lot of opportunity for him to do that this year when he was thrust into that Alabama game in the fourth quarter when you're down 2 scores and you got to make something happen. Very similar to what happened last year in the SEC championship game when they were down 25, 30 points, whatever it was at halftime. You thrust him in there to try to make something happen after Jaden Daniels goes down. So it's been very similar situations the last couple of years, and he's shown us flashes of the player that he can be in those situations. But I think it's going to be a great opportunity for him to have 3 weeks to prepare for a game as a starter. He talked about it with us on Thursday that You know, this is an opportunity for me. Look, I can go out there and I can make mistakes. Like I can make mistakes and I can learn from them. I can re-rep it again because I'm a starter, and I can make sure that we're getting it locked down and loaded and ready for game time, and not have to worry about coming off the field when I miss a, you know, when I miss a play or make a mistake or something. So they're looking to him to be that kind of dude. I think the fact that you saw Brian Kelly say that Joe Sloan and Cortez are going to be the two guys that are going to, you know, kind of lead the offense in terms of play calling. Well, what are those two guys the helms of? It's the passing game, and it's of Gary Nussmeier, who is, you know, who is going to be really thrown into the fire here in his first game. So I think that this decision from Kelly, I don't want to say more than anything, but definitely was a contributing factor to the fact that you have a new starting quarterback in here, that you have you know, a guy in Nussmeier who has not taken a ton of snaps this year. And I think the fact that you're promoting, or at least for this one game, those two coaches that have worked as closely with him in the passing game as possible should tell you all you need to know about kind of the direction LSU wants to go in this game. I think they want to feature Garrett Nussmeier. They want to feature Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas for however long they play. And then we'll see just kind of what happens, you know, kind of in terms of filler and what who kind of explodes in the game, you know, once it gets there. But I think there's an added layer of intrigue here to this game now in terms of how you look at the future of this LSU offense and certainly the future of the program with a lot of these young guys getting some opportunities.
Yeah, I agree with you. And just to kind of piggyback what you were saying, you know, to begin with, this one of the best things you could say, and you know, you mentioned regression and you mentioned reverting back to the mean, like this offense with what they're going to bring back, even without Nabers and obviously potentially Brian Thomas, you're going to have essentially a Joe Moore Award finalist offensive line protecting Garrett Nussmeier. He talked about that. You're going to have, you know, a really good running back room. You had kind of hinted, you feel like this is a group that might lean on the run game a little bit more next year in early parts of the season. I think that this is an offense that was otherworldly in 2023. They're just going to kind of come back down to earth. Does that still mean you can be a top 10, top 15 unit in the country? Yeah. Yes. They were just number one in about every statistical category this year. So I do agree with you. You know, look, it's just a luxury, I guess, and fans have been spoiled to have, you know, in the past 5 years, two otherworldly offenses that are hard to recreate. But I think this offense, I like what you said, this bowl game and this offense, There was, the intrigue of bowl games has declined over the past couple of years with opt-outs and things like that. And, you know, there was already certain levels of things that you could watch in this game. But now I feel like a lot of LSU fans are going to say, hey, we got to watch this game. I want to see what this looks like, you know, with these guys calling plays, see what Garrett Nussmeier looks like. I'm excited to watch it. And Glenn's going to have great coverage down there in Tampa. But, hey, this has been a great podcast talking about this. Glenn, I appreciate you being so willing to, you know, wake up on a Saturday before your Christmas holidays.
For those who are going to be watching on YouTube, I've been fighting the sun here at where I'm staying at my grandmother's house in New Orleans. The sun just keeps kind of shifting. There's a lot of mirrors and a lot of windows and stuff. So sorry if half my face looks like the character from Dark Knight, where it's half light and half dark, but that's just kind of the hand I was dealt here. So, happy holidays to everybody. We've got a lot of good coverage coming up from the bowl game. We'll certainly keep our ears to the ground on any offensive or defensive coaching staff changes that may come. And just everybody and have a joyous holiday season. And we'll catch you guys back here pretty soon.
Yeah, can't wait to talk with you. Bowl game coming up. Obviously, the January signing period, transfer portal never stops. Great time for you to jump on that 60% off deal we have over at Go247. Make sure you sign up, link down below here, whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, or here on YouTube as well. We hope you have a great Christmas here. Bryce Coon, Glenn West, and I'm sure Sonny Ship hopes you have a great Christmas as well. This has been the Go247 podcast.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.